Great to see everyone. Thank you for coming. And today, I want to do more presentation about the ministry in Ukraine, about what's happening in Ukraine, and just share with you also how you can be involved, some other steps of how you can be involved. And so not so much from the teaching from the Word, but a presentation of what is happening in Ukraine and what we're doing in the ministry. And but I also want to let you know, you can at the end, you can ask any questions that you want to ask. And so feel free to write down your questions so you don't forget them. And but yeah, so there'll be time for questions. And also, someone this morning asked about the flag. Now, this flag here is a Ukrainian flag. The colors blue for the sky and yellow for the fields of wheat. And on the flag, it says, literally it says, I pray for Ukraine. But to keep it simple, it's like, pray for Ukraine. And the top language is Ukrainian and the bottom language is Russian. And but because of Russia's war against Ukraine, which started in 2014, more and more people speak Ukrainian, and fewer are wanting to speak Russian. And so also, if you want, after the presentation, you can come up and take a picture with yourself holding the flag, post it on Facebook or the Facebook group for here, and but take a picture, put it on Facebook. That way, people are constantly being reminded about Ukraine and the situation. As many of you know, I grew up in the area. I came on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ crew in 1986, and I've been in Ukraine since 1995. And so I want to just thank you guys for being a big part of my ministry, Sasha and Yulia Zivers' ministry, and other Ukrainian staff in the ministry. So thank you very much for your prayers, your financial support, your concern. Your prayers, support definitely make a big difference. So thank you for that. I have this slide here. It says, living by faith. I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just verse 7. We live by faith, not by sight. We live, our journey with Christ is by faith. It's not by sight, or, you know, looking at what's happening around us. And I have this verse in the slide, living by faith, is in mid-February, we had our annual winter project for students called Infinity. And we went ahead and had it, even though, you know, for 2 months we've been hearing that Russia will attack, Russia will invade. But, you know, how long can you hear bad news, terrible news, without it happening? And you can't just do nothing. And so we had this Project Infinity. It was 2 weeks before the war started, and I'm very thankful that it didn't happen. The war didn't happen during the project, as we had 400 volunteers from all over Ukraine show up for it. And so, just in our life, you know, not just related to the war in Ukraine, but we have to continue to live by faith. On our relationship with Christ, this journey, so many things happen to us in life that can make us freeze, can stop us on our tracks, whether it's work issues, health issues, family issues. So it's not just war in Ukraine, but many things can potentially stop us. And yet we need to continue to take steps of faith, live by faith. And I'm so glad that we did this project. The idea was to train students to be responsible for others in the areas of evangelism and discipleship. And, of course, in the ministry, we had ideas of seeing students implement this in other ways. But once the war started, we saw students taking responsibility for others, as we saw them helping out to evacuate people at the train stations, helping with food for refugees at train stations. And so God had plans. We just didn't realize how how the plans that God had for students to be able to implement the idea of taking responsibility for others. And when I was here in June, I preached a message from Psalm 46. And so this picture means a lot to me. So this picture was taken the day that the war started. One of my teammates took it as he's evacuating from Kiev. And I'm just going to read Psalm 46, real, not the whole thing, but the first few verses. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. And then a couple places in Psalm 46 states that the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And so I think for myself, Sasha, Yulia, Yerick, and some the rest of our ministry, and for you guys, it's so important that we let God be our refuge and strength and ever-present help. Because we never know, and that is something that we daily need to work on, because we never know when our world is going to fall apart and crumble. And as I said, it could be health issues, family, work issues, not just, you know, our country, Ukraine, being attacked by Russia. But so that picture means a lot to me. But right now, on a daily basis, there's still images like that happening. In the ministry with CRU, Campus Crusade for Christ, we have a focus on evangelism and discipleship. And in Ukraine, our main focus is students, but we also have a family life ministry. We have a military ministry. We have a ministry to teachers, and also to with parents and children and neighborhoods through sports with local churches. And we also have a ministry to help local churches grow and develop. And so, but in all that, we want to stick to the basics of evangelism and discipleship. So right now, our reality has changed. We're no longer a country at peace. There's war. But we're still wanting to keep the principles of evangelism and discipleship in this new reality. And so I'm going to show a short video. Sasha Zebra, who many of you have met, he's the national country director for, in Ukraine, it's called Ukraine for Christ. And so he will be speaking about just a project that we have called the Yellow Box.
Dear friends, my name is Sasha Zibarov. I'm national team leader of Campus Crusade in Ukraine. It is my privilege to tell you about one project that our ministry started during the war, or as a way to share the gospel during the war. We call this Yellow Boxes. We printed 10,000 yellow boxes with this four symbols, heart, division sign, cross, and question mark. And so I'm at the warehouse that we are renting in Kyiv, the capital of Ukraine, and we printed 10,000 of these boxes. You can see a lot of them are already filled with the different all kind of food. So our strategy is to bring food to families 4 weeks on a row. And every week, to addition to food, we are putting some spiritual message, a letter, in each of these boxes. And you can see that we have these marks. So this box will contain a message about a decision. So we're sharing about God's law. We're talking about sin. We're talking about Jesus, what he did for us. And then we're talking about the decision. It's important not just to know all the facts, but do you believe that Jesus died for your sin? Right now you can see that all these files, you see that this is number one, so about God's love. And here you can see a lot of boxes with all kind of food, cans, some fish cans, sunflower oil, some cookies, cereal, cornflakes, macaroni, and group of our staff and volunteers that are working daily on this warehouse. And outside of this building, we have several vans that and our guys, our staff and volunteers, they are ready to take this boxes to different villages not far from Kyiv or even further. And we're working with partners, with pastors of local churches, and we're helping them so that they would work with these people who will be receiving this boxes from us, because our goal is not only to help fulfill physical needs. And it's, of course, it's very important in our country these days, but our desire is to share the gospel and talk to Jesus. And thank you very much for praying for Ukraine. Thank you very much for partnering with us in this project. And please continue to pray so that these boxes would be delivered to the right people that God prepared, and His gospel, His message about His love would change their life. Thank you very much, and please join us in prayer for Ukraine. Thank you. Bye.
I think you can see me. We don't need to have lights go on and off all the time. But in Kyiv, the capital, a friend of the ministry has a bottled water company, and so he is renting to us space in the warehouse. So I don't know if you could tell there's bottled waters there. And so we're putting together these boxes, yellow boxes, in Kyiv, but we're also doing it in someone's basement of a house in Budapest, because a lot of our staff with families live in Budapest, Hungary. So we put in together boxes there and putting them together in Kyiv. And our staff and volunteers, then they go out in Ukraine to different surrounding small cities, villages, and even to eastern Ukraine to deliver these boxes of not just humanitarian aid, but basically steps for people to hear the gospel also. And in Hungary, we take the boxes also from Hungary into Ukraine or to Ukrainian refugees that are now living in Hungary. So take the boxes from various places. And also in Poland, staff in Poland, they've created also yellow boxes, and they're delivering to Ukrainian refugees in Poland. After the war started, there's, I think, maybe 6 million refugees, people that left Ukraine, and then there's maybe 7,000 or 7 million internally displaced people in Ukraine. And so the war, about 13 million people no longer live in their houses and live in the places that they lived back in February. So about 6 million refugees that have left the country, and about 3.5 million of those are in Poland. And then also, as I said, about 7 million just internally displaced people. And so through all this, it's not only changed Ukrainian society, but it's also impacted how we do ministry. But God has given us wisdom and the ability to meet people's needs through the yellow boxes and share the gospel. And so this is just a picture short video of putting together the yellow boxes at someone's basement of a house in Budapest. And then this video here, it's also in Budapest, and it's showing loading up the vans. And right here is Sasha and Yulia Zubrov's youngest son, Max. And right here is Sasha, and this is one of my teammates, Sergey, and one of his sons, and another son over here. And so just in the basement, loading up the vans. And then I want to show a video here that shows people's reaction to the yellow boxes. And people...
Thing that's different about a Virgo vacation?
Okay, just a second here. We're working with local churches.
I was hungry,
yeah, go
and
ahead.
You fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home.
Ми з кожним разом приїжджаємо в Мощун, вас все більше. Люди повертаються, слава Богу. Ми разом з організацією «Україна для Христа» привезли для вас невеличкі подарунки. І для нас це велика радість.
Так, станьте, може, десь
помити. I'm here in Mushun. This is Kyiv region, small area or village that was bombed and yeah, many rockets was here. People are coming here to receive some help from our organization, DEPOR, or Ukraine for Christ, we call it. So we've been blessed to be able to do ministry here and help people and deliver them some, we call it this, some physical food and also some spiritual food. We wanted to have this victory not only on the physical level but on the spiritual level as well. So it's been a pleasure and honor for us to be here, and we believe that bringing Jesus right here in these places is like bringing light in the very dark places. We see hope, we see a future. And especially us as a church, we want to be around and next to the people so they can feel and experience God is with them.
Yellow boxes are more than just a humanitarian aid. It's a tears of joy because today one of my family will have some food for a breakfast. It's a conversation with the man on the ruins of his house. It's embraces from God made by our hands. Our dream is to have the 100,000 boxes, therefore the 100,000 stories like these.
And not sure if you're able to understand from the video, but for 4 weeks in a row, we worked together with local leaders, churches, pastors, and our staff in giving a box to the same people 4 weeks in a row. Is each week there's a different message that they hear. The first week, a message related to God's love. The second week, a message related to sin, how it separates us from God. Third message, what Christ did for us on the cross. And then the fourth message, as a reminder that God wants us to make a decision to follow after Him. And so for 4 weeks in a row, the same people received aid. And this here is one of my teammates. I showed this picture in June. But just talking with a couple ladies that received boxes. And because, yeah, we don't want to just be giving out food, aid, but we want to have build a relationship with people. And we're doing this, like I said, with the local churches and volunteers. And also, when the war started, our staff got involved in evacuating people from hotspots and also got involved in taking food into these hotspots. And so the ministry, with the help of the ministry in Switzerland, we're able to get, I think we have about 8 or 10 of these vans. And on the back window, the decal of the four, heart, division symbol, cross, and a question mark. And our staff have been involved in evacuating people. They continue to evacuate people from hotspots, and people are still needing to be evacuated. Maybe just a couple weeks ago, the government, made a policy that people need to evacuate from eastern Ukraine, Donetsk province, which is where I lived when I first went to Ukraine. And so, and hopefully people are listening to that, because not everyone has a vehicle that they can, use to evacuate, or the trains. And sometime, it might have been April, at a train station in the eastern Ukraine, when people were trying to evacuate, a Russian missile hit the train station and killed about 52 or 53 people, mostly women and children. And so it's dangerous. And then right now also people in southern Ukraine are trying to evacuate to Zaporozhye. And the Ukrainian government is telling people that are in the occupied areas or close to the war zone to evacuate. Soon Ukraine is starting a counteroffensive, especially in southern Ukraine. And so, but we have, like I said, 8 to 10 of these vans, and our staff either driving these vans or their own vans would evacuate people. And at first they would just listen to people share their own stories. And then since they'd be in the van for a few hours, then our staff were able to share their story of how the war impacted them, and then they would be able to share the gospel. And so you can say they had a captive audience for a few hours. Oh, wait a second. Yeah. And as I mentioned earlier, we have ministry among students. We have a military ministry. We have a ministry, family life ministry, among with local churches and parents for children, sports ministry, and we have ministry helping the local churches, and also local ministry with teachers. And so this video here just sort of emphasizes our ministry of evangelism and discipleship among students in the military. This guy here in the reddish shirt, Jenya, he is in the ministry with the students, but he got drafted into the army. And so Sasha's interviewing him.
Hi, John. Hi, your church. My name is Sasha Zyborov, and here is Zhenya Zvinsky, one of our staff from Ukraine. Zhenya, he was drafted to the army early March. He is serving in the eastern part of Ukraine, but he had a chance to visit his family and spend a week with his wife here in Dnipro. We are in Dnipro city in eastern Ukraine. On our backside is a SUV that Zhenya and other staff raised money to buy for his military unit, so that his platoon can able to use a vehicle at the front line. We are in Dnipro. We are near Dnipro local team student center. And we had a wonderful meeting just a few minutes ago. And it is a blessing to be here. And even though Zhenya is in the military right now, but he is still thinking about how staff and students, how they can continue reaching Dnipro students with the gospel. And as the leaders, we are not sure what to do with the Dnipro team in eastern Ukraine, but Zhenya and other staff, they really want to continue doing the student ministry over here. I'm just asking you to pray for Dnipro and for Zhenya, so that God would use him on the front line, so that he would protect him and his wife and two boys where they are. I will ask Zhenya to say a few words. But if you can hear now, we have a siren, air raid attack here in Dnipro. We'll share briefly, and we will need to go to the safe place. Zhenya.
Hello, everyone. And I want to just say thank you for your praying for us. I really need it, and I believe that I am alive, and most of my friends alive because many people pray for us. And please continue pray. We really need it. Pray for my platoon, for my battalion, and for this car, because car on the war live not long time. Thank you, friends. Please pray for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for all your prayers, for all your help for Ukraine. May God bless you. Bye.
But yeah, so we have the student ministry, military ministry, and as I said, you know, we really want to keep emphasis on evangelism and discipleship. And this picture here, I met this guy in February at our project for students, Infinity, and challenged him to discipleship, and he willingly accepted, and we had gotten together several times online, and he was excited to be able to have someone that could build into his life. And then I think I also showed you this picture in June when I was here. But this guy in the white shirt was at our winter project, Infinity, in February. And this is a picture of him today on the front lines. And he had dropped out of college in sometime late fall and joined the Army. But at the project, he saw me and was excited to see me. I had no idea who he was, but he ran up to me. He's like, John. Turned out, he said, the guy that you disciple is discipling me. So the guy in the green shirt, I had discipled him when he was a student, and now that guy had been discipling him. And so it's encouraging to see that even during the midst of a war, our students and staff and volunteers still have an emphasis on both evangelism and discipleship. And we have five staff who were drafted into the Army. First guy here, Roma, he has two children. His wife is living in Hungary, wife and children. Jenya, he's the guy that was in the video a second ago. He is married and has two children. And also, I encourage you to take a picture with your phone of these prayer requests. That way you can later on, you know, when you're at home during the week, pray for these guys here, Roma and Jenya. And then Yvonne, pray for him. He was part of my team. He was drafted in November, single. And then this guy here, Artur, he's on staff, and he has two children. And this guy, Kosti, he's on staff and just got married, I think, 2 years ago. And this guy here, Max, friend of mine, he volunteered. It's going to be somewhere in the medical part, but on the front line. And then another guy here, Yvonne. Wait a minute. This is Max that we saw in the picture. And then this is Yvonne that volunteered. So, but you could pray for these guys that they would have a close walk with God. I can imagine that, you know, every day being, you know, under shelling is just very difficult. But also pray for their protection. Pray that they would be an encouragement to those that they serve with. And pray that they would be able to share the good news. And pray that they would interact with civilians and Russian soldiers with respect and dignity. I think each of these guys, Roma, Jenny, Yvonne, Artur, Kosi, Max, Yvonne, they recognize that they're image bearers of Christ. And so just important that on a daily basis that they would show respect to civilians and Russian soldiers, show them respect and dignity. And I'd say each of these staff, they're able to share the gospel with the guys in their units. And so just pray that you know, that they'd be able to share the good news, be an encouragement. Is a lot of the soldiers in the units want them to read the Bible in the evening, want them to read the New Testament. So, and then here's a picture of, it was taken last August, the team that I'm a part of. And, And there's eight of us. And if you notice this guy, Yvonne, he's the one that's in the army. And, but eight of us. And now this picture was taken in April. Here's Yvonne. He now joins team meetings whenever possible, but has a army helmet on. And but there's also four more people that are part of the team. So even in the midst of war, students and volunteers realize the importance of helping to fulfill the Great Commission. And so this guy, Dennis, and Victor, and Natalia, and Nikita applied this summer. They come on staff with us, and they were accepted. And so it's encouraging to see that, you know, people aren't afraid to come on staff, even during war. As the war has impacted the Ukrainian economy, if you think inflation is bad here, it's much, much, much worse in Ukraine. And then also, this was a picture, August 5th, Garrick, a friend of mine, his team called Crossroads, they had a conference for teachers. They had it in the mountains, probably one of the safest places in Ukraine, but they had a conference for teachers. And so here's Garrick doing some training at it, and also Sasha, he was able to go to it. So in the midst of war, ministry continues. There's a spiritual hunger among the people. And so I want you to think about, okay, I mean, you can take a picture of this, page, the slide also, is the harvest is plentiful. Students are wanting to come on staff. People are eager to hear the gospel. And, and then, so here I have a link to a giving page for me, for Sasha and Yulia, and for the yellow boxes. If you'd like to especially give to the yellow boxes or one of us, is we've all, you could say, started life over again. Sasha and Yulia, they're living in Hungary, in Budapest, but they need to find a place to live. I'm going to be going back September 23rd, and also we'll need to find a place to live, maybe rent a house with Sasha and Yulia. And then, oh, here's some more prayer requests. So you can take pictures of these. Prayer requests. Pray that the war would stop soon. And pray that Russia would lose. Because if there's a ceasefire, sooner or later, Russia will come back. Since 2014, when they started the war, there have been, you know, little ceasefires. But sooner or later, Russia attacks people, cities. And by them losing, more lives would be saved and more people would ultimately hear the gospel. Pray for a spiritual revival in Ukraine, Russia, Poland, Romania, Moldova, and of course the U.S. And because there's definitely a hunger right now in Ukraine. And I think also in the U.S. right now, there's also fear of war, inflation, all kinds of problems. And so you can pray for spiritual revival in the U.S. And pray that Sasha Zebrew would have wisdom in leading the ministry and for them to find a house to rent in Budapest. I think they need to find one within the next week or so. And pray for wisdom for President Zelensky and pray that the yellow boxes would be effective in meeting people's physical needs as they ultimately meet their spiritual needs. And then here's a news source that's pretty good. If you'd want to take a picture of it, KyivIndependent.com. It has some really good short, they're not long articles, but very short articles where you can read information. We'll say the good, the bad, ugly places. You can read about, you know, where Ukraine has lost soldiers and weapons or where Russia has, but just short. And so, Rosie, can you go ahead and turn the lights back on? As I said, I wanted time to also, if any of you might have any questions, feel free to ask any questions or why, what type questions, and see if I can answer them. But I'd love to be able to answer any questions that you might have. Karen? On September 23rd, I'm going to go back to Hungary, and I'm going to work with Ukrainian refugees in Hungary. I'm trying to think. Maybe a month and a half ago or so, Sasha Zebrov and a few others told me that the Ukrainian ministry and the U.S. ministry decided it'd be best for me to continue to serve from Hungary and not go into Ukraine. And so my mom will be having a birthday September 20th, so a couple days after her birthday, and then I'll go back to Hungary. Any other questions? To the website? Yeah, and I know the church is, big part of the ministry with us. I'm very thankful, but if you'd want to give a special gift to any of us or the yellow boxes, that's there. My nieces, where they work, they're aware of a family that's going to be coming here, Ukrainian family. I think maybe 8 or 9 children, but we don't have very much information yet. But when we find out more, I'll find out from my nieces. More information, we'll let you know. Is like I said, just as Sasha and his family and I were starting life over, these refugees that will be coming here in the area will be starting life over. Any other questions? I'm going to read Psalm 23 and also, or then at the end, have Ted pray. But any other questions? I think those in Poland, probably trying to stay as close to the Ukrainian border, or maybe in the bigger cities of Warsaw and Krakow. I'd say the Polish government, they're taking care of people very well. And I know in Romania, the Romanian government, they've taken a lot of refugees in and taking care of people. And a lot of it is just individuals saying, hey, we'll open up our homes. But then after a while, people, Ukrainians, find a place to rent. Because when the majority of us on staff first went to Hungary, there's people that opened up their homes. But then after a while, it's like you can only stay for so long with people. But when we first got there, there one time a story of a Hungarian who's living in London, flew from London to Poland or to Hungary to give keys to their apartment to someone. And after you gave them, they flew back. And so just individuals, God has placed gift, I'm going to say, hospitality and mercy on people in Poland and Hungary, Romania. And but some countries' governments are taking more active steps in helping people. Our ministry doesn't want us, the staff, to apply for refugee status because our staff, they still, the banking system in Ukraine still works. But I know like in Switzerland, there's refugees and the Swiss government, of course they have money. The Swiss government, they're able to help people financially, whereas in Hungary, the Hungarian government doesn't help people financially, but I know the Swiss government does, and I think the German government might also. So it depends on where you're at. But I think in some places, maybe temporary housing has been set up. don't know if that answered your question very well. It varies a lot from country to country. They're able to work, but I think it takes a while for the paperwork process to be involved. But also, like when a lot of people went first to Hungary, there was a Calvary Chapel, had a retreat center, and at that retreat center, they opened it up for refugees, and they provided 2 hot meals a day. But now, like I said, those type of places, after a while, they have to get back to normal activities. But I think in a lot of those countries, they're allowing people to look for jobs. Any other questions? All right, I'm going to read Psalm 23, and then I'm going to ask Ted to close us in prayer. And hopefully during this time, I mean, when we watch the news, we just think of all the terrible things. And it is terrible what's happening. So many cities have been destroyed. There's still shelling, especially in the southern part of Ukraine, Nikolaev, or eastern Ukraine, Bakhmut, Kramatorsk. And there's still people being killed on a daily basis. But yet, I want us to come away with there's hope that God is at work. And there's also hope. Most Ukrainians, I think over 90%, believe that they will win. And they will even get back all the territory that was occupied. So just like I said, pray that this war would come to an end soon. As winter will be, as most of us know, winter will be coming, and farmers are trying to harvest their crops in Ukraine. But I do want you to realize that there is hope, and Ukrainians are optimistic for the future. And I want to read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So I would say most believers in Ukraine feel as if God is having them, leading them through this terrible time, this war. He's leading them beside quiet waters. And it's something that all of us, as we walk and grow in a relationship with Christ, we can feel that. He's leading us beside quiet waters. And I think Ukrainian believers can experience that God has a table before them and taking care of them. So once again, I want to just thank you for your concern, your prayers, support, encouragement. And I'm going to ask Ted to pray for us on the concerns that I mentioned.
Father, we thank you so much for the ministry that you have given John and his willing heart. And we want to pray for the ministry as a whole. We praise you that through it all, they keep the same focus and the same mission of reaching others for you, Lord. And just pray for strength, pray for your protection, especially for this group of Ukrainians that have got drafted into the army and are fighting on this war, Lord. Just pray that you'll help them have a close walk with you, and we pray for their protection and that they can encourage the people around them, that they'll be a light showing the people around them who you are, Lord, and that they'd be able to share the good news with them, Lord. And also, especially as they deal with the Russian soldiers and civilians and stuff in the area, that they'd show you and your love, Lord. And we pray that that this war would end soon and that lives would be saved, Lord. And just pray that Ukraine will win and we can put this war behind them. And we pray for the spiritual revival that times like these brings, Lord. And pray for that you'll work in the hearts of the Ukrainian people, but also in Russia. And where all the Ukrainians went out, all the different countries that took them in, Lord, just pray that your revival will continue and that they'll be able to point others to you, Lord. We want to pray especially for Sasha as he leads the ministry. Just pray for wisdom and in seeing opportunities and to follow through on those, Lord. And we pray for President Zelensky that you would guide him, Lord, and give him wisdom. And we want to pray for the Yellow Box ministry, that it will continue and food coming in and that to touch the lives as they reach out to these people, Lord. And just pray for safety for John as he goes back and for wisdom and continue the ministry, Lord. We love you, Lord. Amen.